Blog Talk Radio.
Psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the Director of Inpatient Medicine at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older and treatment of adults, in other words, from the womb to the tomb. She's also an all-time triathlete. So if you're having any problems with life, if you're having problems breaking through on any level in sports, give her a call. She's been there. She's gone through that wall. And she owns that wall at this point. Her offices are located at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. And her phone number is 813-688-2466. Well, guys, it's good to have everybody on. We'll get Dr. Chris on. We wanted to start the show off with a tribute. This week we had the passing of a legend, not just a legend, but the man who, you know, the man, the legend, the myth, whatever you want to call it, legendary Hall of Fame boxing manager Lou Duva passed away this week at the age of 94. Lou was very influential in boxing for over seven decades. And he had such great fighters as Pernell Whitaker and Medrick Taylor. And he also had Joey Giordello going back to many, many years. Evander Holyfield. There's so many people that he's had in his stable and that he's made fighters out of. Guys that came to him that needed to be groomed, and Lou was one of the best groomers there was. And now we're lucky enough to have his daughter-in-law, Kathy, as a friend of ours, but also as now taking over the main enterprises for Lou Duva. So for that, we wish the family, give our deepest condolences, and we know that Lou's up somewhere, starting to sit there with that cigar of his, just smiling and telling me, get on with something else. So we're going to do that. So welcome, Ty. I'm sorry, welcome, Zito. Welcome, John, Captain John, and welcome, Brady.
How's it going, guys? Good to be here.
Hey, Brady, it's been a while since you've been on, so I know you have... You're itching to give your report. Why don't you give your report first?
Yeah, well, a lot's happened this week. DeSean Jackson went to the Bucks, and Pierre Garçon went to San Francisco. And Washington, now their receiving core, it's down. And Cousins is not going to have that many people to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lose a lot of passing yards. And Romo I think they might sign a contract. He might sign a contract to go to Houston for Osweiler.
Mm-hmm.
But is Osweiler going to start for Dak, or is he going to back down for backup? Alshon Jeffrey went to Philly, and then Mike Glennon is now in Chicago, and he's going to have to fight for a spot against Matt Barkley. Glennon and Barkley, I think that's a pretty good match, but they're not too good. I don't think they're that good. Then Lawrence Timmons, he's been a Steeler for a long time. Now he got traded to Miami, and people think he's going to spend his last year in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's most of it. There might be more, but I don't know.
Yeah, I understand.
But,
Nick
yeah.
Foles is coming back to Tampa as a backup quarterback.
Oh God!
It's one of your boys, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Two former Eagles players are coming back to are coming to Tampa.
Brady, I'm gonna ask you. What do you think? Who do you think made the best moves out of all the teams?
So far, I think the Bucks, they kind of did, but they still need to work on their line. Their line really needs to improve. But actually, the Eagles, because they got Alshon Jeffrey, now they're gonna have better receiving core. I don't think Nelson Aguilar can barely catch. He didn't have a lot of touchdowns. When the ball hit him right in the hand, and he didn't catch it. So Jordan Matthews and Alshon Jeffrey are going to make a good team as our receiving core.
Okay. Don't forget about my Patriots. My Patriots did very well this free agency. My Patriots did very well this free agency. So I'm very excited for Brady's last hurrah, Tom Brady, not our young man Brady.
Hey, guys, we're joined by Dr. Chris.
Hey, Dr. Chris, how's it going?
I'm up here thawing out. You guys are doing the same thing, freezing my butt off up here. Colder than hell. My son was out cutting wood, and I was out there with him for a while. Then I come in, and, boy, I took a little nap. What's going on, guys?
Not much. We got you got one of your Furies coming back. Next week, but it's not going to be the big one. I'm sorry, May 6th. Yui's going to fight Joseph Parker.
Okay. All right. Well, now the big one's on tonight at Triple G, right?
That's next week, Chris, the
next
18th.
Week.
What's that? Next
it's
week?
Next Saturday.
Oh, well, I'm only off by a week. I'm improving. Christ, that's good.
Hey, you're okay. Yeah. There's a good match on tonight with, I think, Lemieux and Steven. So I think that's going to be an exciting matchup on HBO.
All right. Yeah, what are you guys paying, having a tribute to Duva?
Yes, we just did.
I met Lou. I'll tell you a good story. The premier of Italy was kidnapped. And the Italian team was supposed to come to the United States and fight at Tarawa, Lou Duva's hometown. Lou was putting a show on. Now, he was not yet a promoter, a big promoter. Well, he sold $55,000 worth of tickets. So he didn't want to cancel the show. So he comes down to South Jersey, and he said, I need six or seven Italian boys to come up and fight and save the show. So he picked out Mario Tiberi, my son, Johnny Bavenzi. We went up there with a really good team, and we were fighting in conjunction with Argentina against the U.S. team with Marvis Frazier and whatnot. So Lou was thrilled that we were there. So all the old Italian men were talking Italian because they had my son listed as somewhere in Italy and everybody. And my kids don't speak Italian, neither do any of the other guys. So the Italian man got furious at it because they wouldn't talk to him. So Johnny Bavenzi, who was born over there, got them all together in the stands and told them what happened. And then they were satisfied. So the show went on with Rocky Graziano doing the emceeing. It was a thrilling evening. Chris had a great fight that night. He got outstanding fighter. He got a medal from Argentina. Mario won. Actually, we won all our fights. And the crowd was thrilled. And Lou gave Carmen a ton of money to give to the kids. He said, "Give us to the kids. Spread it around." You know, which Carmen had a bad memory. And the money never showed. He forgot where it was. He woke up, was in his body. Where the hell did this come from? So we teased him about it later on. But Lou was so thrilled. I saw him in Philly later on. He came running up, talked to me, talked to Chris. He was so happy about how great the evening was. Because right after that, if you remember, Shelley Finkel, I think his name was, bought the entire Olympic team. And made Lou the manager of all those guys. And they all became, that was his first start into the big time. And he never forgot it. He was nice to us for the next number of years. He came to Philly for they were honoring Italians who have accomplished something in the United States. And he was there. Lou was an honoree. The guy that starred in the Wise Guys, Captain Lou Albano. Was he funny? He had just made the movie Frankie. He was Frankie the Fixer in the movie Wise Guys. I don't know if you guys ever saw it.
Yeah.
With Joe Piscopo and Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And he was doing skits from it. He had the crowd in stitches laughing. Well, very entertaining. Anyway, it was a great evening. Lou gave a nice talk. He said the Holyfield fight that he had just promoted grossed $72 million, which was a record up to that point. $72 million. Old crowd, at that time, today it would be nothing. Because this was worldwide TV shows and so forth. And everybody thought that was a fortune. Up to that point, that was the highest paid gross ever. So Lou did it for himself. And, of course, you've met his daughter, talking to his daughter. And,
right.
And his son, Danny. Danny's funny himself. He's comical.
Yeah.
He had the quote of the year in boxing. When Mike Tyson got out of prison, they asked Danny Duva, do you think Mike will be smarter this time? And Danny Duva said, hey, he didn't go to Harvard. He was in jail for 4 years. Yeah, that hit all the headlines. Yeah, everybody thought that was comical. So, but anyway, it was a good family of people. So, have you ever been up to Tatawa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. That's where Marty Feldman was from.
Right.
Marty Feldman went to that high school up there.
John, I want to ask you about the Mew fight. What's your thoughts on tonight's fight?
Well, I think Lemieux is a Vegas odds favorite, but he's only had a couple fights since he was knocked out. You know, he's hit pretty hard when he fought Triple G, and the last two fights haven't really been up to par with what he's going to face tonight with Stevens. So Lemieux got almost like Thurman. Lemieux got rocked with those body shots, and even though Stevens is a headhunter, or fair to say he's good in the upper body, Stevens can go to that lower body and expose Lemieux. But I think it's going to be a great fight tonight. I think it's going to be some heavy hitting. I think it's going to be some excitement, very underrated fight that's not making too much headlines. And whoever wins this fight is poised for another big fight. So Lemieux's having a good bounce back against Triple G, and I think Lemieux will win the fight ultimately. But he can't take this guy lightly.
Z?
I agree to on some point. I think that Lemieux is a better boxer. He can do more things than Stevens. The one thing is, Stevens, I've seen him being outworked by Tereno Johnson, Tiviano Johnson, excuse me. And that fight, he just showed up on the ropes. Now, he showed me he was tough and durable and had some cardio because he came back and there was he stopped Tereno in I think the last round. With that said, both guys are looking to kind of get you out of there with as least punches as possible. They're not really, they can throw combinations, but they're really trying to knock your head off. Lemieux is better defensively. I think he's a little quicker. Just off of him being able to do more, being more versatile, I think he's a little quicker. Stevens, he's more fast twitch, but he's trying to throw hooks and uppercuts. He's trying to get the big punches in. I could kind of see a sloppy fight at times, but I kind of have to go with Lemieux in a well-earned decision.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Are we talking about Adonis Stevens?
No, Curtis Stevens.
No, Curtis.
Oh, Curtis. Okay, because I didn't hear you guys clearly. You're talking about Adonis Stevens.
No.
I didn't understand. Well, Lemieux is a tough guy. There's no question about it. He's a hard punching guy. He wants to, like Z said, he wants to take you out of there. He's all business. He's only about 5'9". What is the weight of the other guy?
68. They're both middleweights, if I'm correct. They're both coming in at 60, if I'm correct.
Oh, they're going to fight at 160?
Yeah. I think they're middleweight.
Okay. Well, you know what? Lemieux is stronger at 165. I saw him at a heavier weight. He's much stronger. But I think he has a little bit of a difficult time coming down to 160. He didn't look too strong against Triple G at 160. So, I don't know if that's a little weakness or not. I'm not sure. I'm not really familiar with Stevens that much. I've never seen him that much. But Lemieux, I like Lemieux. I thought he had a chance against Triple G, but, man, I was wrong again. Triple G is too tough. Jesus, he's tough. And he took him out with body shots, which surprised me. You know, Lemieux went out with body shots. He didn't get it. He was stopped that way. So I don't know. Unless Stevens better be in for a good fight. If he's a guy that likes to coast, he's not going to be able to coast tonight.
No.
This guy's in there the whole time trying to knock your head off. He's a very exciting fighter.
Yeah.
So
Guys, we're joined. Yeah. We're joined by one of a good friend of ours, an extraordinary writer for many years, boxing fanatic and author, Mr. Bernard Fernandez. Bernard, how you doing?
I think you were going for Bernard Hopkins here for a second.
No, okay.
then you were really had a good get for the program.
Hey, you're both in Philly. Bernard, what's your thoughts on the Lemieux fight?
Well, I'm going to put this in the context of what we had last week. You know, that fight with Garcia and Thurman, they kept on saying, oh, this has got a chance to be, you know, Leonard Hearns won, and Leonard came in to do commentary, and that was getting forwarded a lot that we're going to see this terrific welterweight matchup that's going to be classic and people will be talking about for years between two undefeated champions. And basically what we got was Delahoy and Trinidad. It didn't deliver what was promised. Not that it was a bad fight, but it wasn't an epic, and it wasn't classic. And this fight's not going to be either. The difference is, I think, is that both of these guys, with their limitations, they're punchers, and they go in there with the concept that, you know, they want to knock the other guy out, and so from a fan friendliness standpoint, this fight has a chance, I think, maybe to be a little bit more entertaining, a little bit more action-packed than what we got last week.
Mm-hmm.
The fighters are lesser fighters, but you know, I think with Thurman and Garcia, they had a chance maybe, you know, with the TV audience that they had, delivered really good ratings. You know, to take a chance and just let it go, and maybe try to live up to all the hype beforehand of Leonard Hearns won. Not that they could, but you know they could have tried. And I think that basically it came up here. That was not a time to play. You know, to go a little bit conservative and you know, fight a technical fight. I think the sport needed something more than that, and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Very well put.
Yeah, we have a caller, and Jesse, you say you want to talk some boxing?
I love talking boxing, bro. You guys talking about Stevens Lemieux?
Yeah.
It feels like people are trying to recreate Ward versus Gotti, and it ain't gonna happen.
Right about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it can happen, but I do believe that this fight's gonna be. I don't think it's gonna go the distance. I think you have two power punchers that are in there, and again swinging for the fences, and one of them's gonna get caught. Lemieux's a little mm-hmm. slower. Stevens has talked a good game up into this fight, but
how about this one? Can I bring it to another fight or no?
Go ahead.
Triple G versus Jacobs. I think Triple G. No, listen to me. Triple G under two rounds. I've been watching both of those fighters. I've been watching. And Triple G with the undervote makes no sense. But you got to go under with the parlay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, something bothers me about Jacobs with that 8-round Dimitri, what is it, Panache fight?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Triple G's going to knock him out. What do you guys think about this?
Yeah.
And I say, like, in the first two rounds.
Okay, hold on to that. Okay, where were we here? Bernard, we had the announcement today that Floyd Mayweather is going to come out of retirement for a big fight. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, I have, you know, count me in the club of people that is not excited about Mayweather coming out to fight McGregor. I mean, you know, this is a classic apples and oranges thing. If they're going to fight under boxing rules, you know, yeah, Floyd's a 25-1 minimum favorite, probably closer to 50-1. I know the MMA people probably have some interest in this, but if that's what we're going to see of Floyd Mayweather, I'll take a pass. I'll watch some old movie or something, you know. But and the other thing is he's going to want $100 million for it. To me, it's just a blatant money grab. It's a dog and pony show, and you know, the people that buy it, you know, when they complain the next day that you know, it was a waste of their time and money, you know, then they only have themselves to blame.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think, anyway.
Okay, John, you're pretty close to the Mayweather group. Can you give us your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'm going a different direction. I totally agree with Bernard there. But the direction I'm going, I think this is it is a money grab, but I think it's to a point where that fight is not going to happen, and Mayweather has to step up something to either antagonize McGregor or step up the game in order to get additional talk on it. I had the privilege of speaking with Dana White maybe about 30 days ago and specifically asked him about this fight, and he said it's not going to happen. He said this fight is not going to happen. I mean, UFC still has McGregor under contract. There's still papers that need to be signed and red tape that needs to happen. In addition, Mayweather's still telling McGregor, you're not going to get $100 million. Take the cut that you're being provided. It's going to be a whole lot more than the $25 million Dana White and the UFC are offering, but to both fighters. And Mayweather would never come out for that. But I do agree. I think it's just going to be a terrible fight. I think Mayweather will dominate in a ring, but I still don't think the fight's going to happen.
Okay. What do you think, Zeke?
I absolutely agree with Captain John. Floyd Mayweather, he's a businessman. He's a businessman. At first and foremost, he's a businessman. And when he comes out of his mouth, it's always about potential money. And he's going to, right now, he's trying to keep relevant. He has no fights coming up as far as boxing is concerned. He's looking in the direction of MMA Conor McGregor. And with him being the businessman he is and Dana White being the businessman he is, that fight is not – I mean, it's not going to happen. It won't generate the money it will. People have enough sense to know that's two different realms of fighting. Those are just two different – you know, they're two parallel realms of fighting. And that just doesn't work. So, I mean, that's not going to generate the $100 million, you know, really. I don't think it would generate the $100 million for Floyd. So, it may, but I don't really see it that way. So, I mean, it's just maybe a money grab, but I just see Floyd just putting it out there, trying to keep his name relevant.
Okay. How about you, Chris?
Well, I'm wondering if it will ever come off. I think the fight will generate a tremendous amount of interest. I'm just looking at the TV shows, watching Skip and Shannon Sharp. They're all excited about it. They argued for an hour, two or three mornings in a row, over who would win, who would do this, who would do that. All the shows can't wait to see it. Wiley and Max, they were talking about it. It drew a tremendous amount of interest. The MMA has more fans worldwide than the boxing world, and I think people would love to see it. They don't mind throwing away $25-$50 bucks. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they'll all kick in and all, you know, pay the $100 fee, whatever it'll be. But I think it's different. It's got some excitement to it. You don't know which way they're going to fight. I don't know how possibly Conor McGregor is going to come out and be a boxer. Is he even going to wear boxing gloves? Or are you going to wear the MMA gloves? I mean, nothing has been said, how's he going to do this? And Floyd, I think Floyd's just testing the water to see how much money's out there. I think if there's enough money out, I think he would come out. But I wouldn't put him 51 favorite, a 50-1 favorite. I don't know why. I just got a funny feeling. McGregor's a big, strong kid. He's a lot bigger than a welterweight. And he's got some advantages there, but, of course, you know, he has no boxing skills, very few boxing skills. To me, it would be interesting, and I wouldn't mind seeing it. Money grab or not, hell, I've thrown money away on worse things than that. So, you know, what's the difference? I think it would be comical, you know?
Hey, Brady, you were talking about it earlier today, and you said something about you didn't think McGregor was going for a big pocketbook, but that he couldn't get back into MMA because of the purse it would draw. But you also had some questions about his technique. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I mean, McGregor, like, is he going to want to block? Is he going to try to block, like, his head, or is he going to try to block his body? He's not going to know what to do, you know? Is he going to have to get a new trainer or something?
Oh, yeah, you have to. Sure. Yeah, the other thing is he may, get so upset that he'd lose his train of thought and put a kick on somebody, and then he's done. Right? Is that what you were telling me?
Well, one thing, Brady, what worries me about Conor McGregor is go back and look on YouTube and look at the Conor McGregor Nate Diaz fight. The first fight. Conor McGregor was essentially outboxed by Nate Diaz and stopped when he lost. If he's outboxed by Nate Diaz, what is Floyd Mayweather going to do to him? Conor, he's a guy who comes in, he's energetic, comes in and out, usually has his hands down, slipping. It's pretty kind of quick with his hands for, MMA. But when you're fighting MMA, they're throwing punches at different angles. They're looking for a lot of different things. They're looking for takedowns. They're looking for kicks. They're looking to check kicks. They're looking for different strikes and different type of grappling, open grappling. To where boxing, you're more focused on the spots, your spots of that you're not trying to get hit, and you're trying to hit the other spots of the guy, the soft spots. So, I mean, it's two totally different things that you're looking at. And for a guy who's done it as long as Floyd's done it, as far as boxing is concerned, and for a guy, Conor McGregor, who has never, hasn't competed on that level, I can't pick Conor McGregor over an Olympic boxer his size, to be honest. So, I mean, just because, I mean, that's two different things that they're doing.
Hey, can I throw in another thought? Because I've been listening to everybody speak about this. Let's say somebody went to a Hollywood executive and said, hey, I've got a great idea for a movie. We'll have Tarzan versus James Bond, they're going to have a big fight. Okay, are you going to set it in the jungle, or are you going to set it, some sort of urban center or whatever? Because I got to believe that if you're going to have Tarzan versus James Bond and it's in the jungle, and James Bond can't talk to the elephants and make them do what he wants, and he has to swing from the vines and everything, he's going to be a 50-1 underdog. And that's this thing to me. You're going into Floyd Mayweather's jungle. And Conor McGregor, no matter how many people he's a striker in MMA. But trying to hit Floyd is going to be a whole different ballgame. And he's going to be in the wrong atmosphere. He's going to be in a ring, not an octagon. And it's non-competitive. There was a lot of interest, as I recall, when Muhammad Ali fought, and I use quote marks there, Antonio Inoki. And that was the biggest ripoff in the history of combat sports. And Ali threw three punches in the entire fight. The rest of the time, he had to try to avoid being kicked in the shins. This is not going to be the same thing, but in a way, it kind of is. You know, so I mean, you know, there's some people going to get excited about it, but you know, really, they shouldn't.
Hey, Bernard, you've got a card coming up next week in Reading. It's got Amir Mansour as the top card, and then Ed Nucheri and Douglas out of Wilmington.
Omar
Douglas, yes. Thank you. What's your thoughts on those two fights?
Well, you know, for what it is, Mansour and Travis Kaufman is reasonably interesting. I was talking to somebody and said it's a fight to determine which guy who wins moves back to the outer fringes of fringe contendership. You know, they're not contenders, they're contenders to be contenders. When I mean contenders, I mean, you know, like top 20 type thing. But in and of itself, it could be interesting. You know, you have, to me, competition levels aren't the main thing. NFL football is better than college football. College football is better than high school football, you know, whatever. But there are some high school games that are more entertaining than NFL games. I think it could be an entertaining fight as long as you're not expecting, you know, to see the next heavyweight champion. It's two guys that come up there. They're going to be throwing big punches. Somebody's probably going to get knocked out. And you know, for the amount of money that you're paying, you're not going to be paying $1,500 or $2,000 for a ringside seat. You know, you'll probably get your money's worth. So from that standpoint, you know, hey, fine and dandy, you know, but neither one of these guys is a top 10 or top 15 fighter at this point in their career. But that doesn't mean they can't put on an entertaining show. As far as the other fight, I haven't really studied it that much. And I think I told you that I'm kind of out of pocket. I won't be in New York this week.
Right.
Because I have sort of like a medical situation
right.
with my wife, and you know,
yeah.
So I've got bigger fish to fry than who wins tonight or who wins
right.
next week. You know,
hey Z, you're pretty acquainted with well, I know you're well acquainted with Omar and Mr. Douglas. And, you know, our good friend Edner is fighting. By the way, I had a chance to go to the gym with Edner the other day. He looks in fantastic shape. He's set for this, and he really, I think he's going to put on a good show up there. So why don't I just, I'll sit back and listen to you, your thoughts on Amir and Omar and Edner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, first, I know Ty works with Omar's father. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting either one as of yet. I watched Omar fight live. Omar, he's a pretty good fighter. Omar, he has power, and he's a very tough. He's very tough. This fight with Edner, who is also very tough. This is a fight where you're not going to see any guy dance around. This is these guys they're going to be looking for each other. Both guys, they tend to look for their opponents, want to find their opponents, and neither guy is going to be hard to find. This fight is going to ultimately, I think, come down to who's cleaner in the pocket. I think Omar hits a little harder than Edner per punch. Edner, he's not going to knock Edner out. Edner's too tough. He's not going to knock Edner out. Edner, they're both in pretty good condition. I mean, Edner's in exceptional condition. Omar's in good condition also. What I can see is Omar looking, you know, to hit Edner with the big shot, and Edner may be outworking him in spots and moments. But Edner, I see Edner kind of not working as much because he has to watch out for, you know, big shots from Omar. Omar has a dangerous left foot. He has a very dangerous left foot. He tends to throw it kind of high. He's high and he, you know, brings it wide. But, I mean, it's dangerous nonetheless. So Edna's going to have to kind of watch out for that. But as I say, the fight, you know, I can't really determine the winner as of yet. Edna has the experience, most definitely. Omar has the youth. I mean, so that kind of balances out, you know, in this fight specifically, in my eyes, that balances itself out. So,
Chris?
And, yeah.
Chris, you have anything to say?
Not really. That was pretty good analysis of the fight. You know, I don't have much to add to that. I just think that I'd like to see a Monsieur fight. I like to watch him. He's very exciting, and you know, just I know neither one are going to be, you know, great champions in the future, but. You know, you can't expect everybody to put on a, you know, spectacular show. I like to watch it. I like to watch boxing. It's got two different styles. And I'll enjoy the fight. Let's put it that way. I'll enjoy the fight. And you know, I think I'm going to go with Monsieur in the fight. I think he's strong. Very strong, rough guy. And I think I'm going to go with him in the fight. Rather than Douglas. So,
John, do you have any?
But I'm anxious to see it.
John, do you have any thoughts on it?
I thought the analysis was pretty good. Edner Cherry obviously has, you know, I think he has, what, 42, 45 fights under his belt. And
yeah.
Omar Douglas, 17, 18. I think he's 17-1. So, 18 fights. Obviously, he had the more experience than Edner Cherry. And I think it's a big fight for Douglas. So, you know, he comes in with, 12, 13 knockouts, and he's a very dangerous fighter, and, you know, he's young and up and coming, so we'll see what takes place.
Good. Hey, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but CBS is going to have another full show on April 22nd. They're going to come back with Kell Brooks versus Errol Spence Jr. Bernard, what's your thoughts on that one?
You know, this unofficial Showtime welterweight tournament, they're not calling it a tournament, but basically it kind of is. I've tried to look at this every kind of which way to see, you know, who emerges as the guy. Is the guy who as much who can be the guy, considering that Manny Pacquiao and you know, is not involved with it, and Mayweather obviously would not be involved with it, but of the people that would be participating. And even though the fight is going to be in England, which is Kell Brook territory, to me the most talented guy out there and thus has the most upside is Errol Spence. I look at this guy and I have the feeling that he has a chance to be a special fighter. I feel that if he'd been in with either Thurman or Garcia last week, he would have beat either one of them. If he beats Kell Brook, I think he moves to the front of the line in the non-legend category, you know, which would be Mayweather and Pacquiao as the guy who could emerge within the next year as the best of a pretty deep group of welterweights. I'm not sure how you guys feel about it, but he's fun to watch, and he's got some talent, he's got some power, he's got some boxing ability. I think he's got a chance to be the one who emerges from the scrum.
Mm-hmm. See?
I agree with everything you said, Mark. I just think Errol Spence, he's the up-and-coming most guy with the most potential that could kind of dominate the welterweight division. I just think at the moment, it all depends. If Kell Brook can make weight after coming back down from the middleweight, if he can make weight effectively, no residual effects, I think Errol Spence is fighting the best welterweight in the division, flat out. Kell Brook, I don't think anyone in the welterweight division at this moment can beat Kell Brook.
But you just said it. You just said something very important. If he is not unduly affected by coming down in weight, and of course he's not coming down as far in weight, but I remember what happened with Roy Jones. He went up and beat John Ruiz at heavyweight. Then he tried to get back down to 175, and he was never the same again. You know, it's easy to put on weight. It's not easy to put on weight the right way, and it's hard to take that weight off. Once if you put on 20 pounds of muscle or 15 pounds of muscle, it's not the same as taking off 20 pounds of fat. And, you know, this, which is why Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem make so much money. I think that there's a very good chance that coming down from middleweight, you know, could have a very deleterious effect on Kell Brook. I mean, it remains to be seen. But once again, I use Roy Jones as a prime example of what happens when you try to come down that much. It can have an effect on your body.
Yeah, and Roy Jones is a very good analysis example. And I just think that Kell Brook, he's that's very well possible that just the weight that you can't yo-yo your weight up and down like that and expect to perform at the same level. I just think if Kell Brook, if he is at the same level, I think it's too soon for Errol Spence to say it. I just think Errol Spence, it may be two or three fights off from seeing a guy like Kell Brook.
Well, I tell you what, I give Errol Spence all the credit for going to England to fight Kell Brook. I mean, the thing is that we've seen too many really good fights that don't happen because this fighter or that fighter does not want to venture into deep water. That's not the way it used to be in the 40s and 50s and 60s. I mean, the best guys fought the best guys, and you don't get a lot of that. And I'm tired of all this talk about this fight or that fight marinating and stuff like that. The heck with that. I mean, when you wait for something to get bigger, look, 5 years for Mayweather and Pacquiao. How did that work out? I give Spence credit for willing to go over to England to take this fight. You know, I mean, that shows he's got some balls. He's got some chutzpah, you know.
Oh yeah, you gotta give Spence all the credit in the world for even taking the fight against Kell Brook. But when the best fight's the best, I want to see Kell Brook against Keith Thurman at the moment. I mean, I want to see those guys. These guys are supposed to be upper echelon. Keith Thurman just fought Danny Garcia. They both were considered high level. Spence, to me, hasn't made it exactly there yet to fight a Kell Brook, who I think is on that level. So, I mean, that's just my humble opinion. But I think that there's certain levels to it. There's certain levels.
I agree with the levels, but I'm gonna go Benora. I believe that Spence could be that next big thing in the welterweight division. You know, he's taking a huge risk, as we stated, by going overseas, or I say going into the backyard of Brook. And the fact that Vegas has Spence as a favorite, but if he lets this go to the cards in his hometown, it could be devastating. We saw the disparity in the judges with the Thurman and Garcia fight. Unfortunately, we see it far too often in boxing.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a big fight. And the one fight that when they were talking to Thurman after the fight that piqued his interest, where you saw where he said, I don't know, then the name of Spence was mentioned, you know, it piqued his interest. And he said, yeah, let's, you know, that's something that we could look at. So, So this is going to be a big fight. You know, Spence is a little minor underdog on the Vegas card. I mean, favorite on the Vegas card. So, but if you look back at the Brook, just he probably exposed Triple G better than any other fighter so far.
Sure.
So I look forward to the fight.
Yeah, one of the other things on that card is going to be the Andre Berto and Sean Porter fight. That to me seems to be sort of a mismatch. What do you think? What do you guys think, Bernard?
Well, you know, I did a story for the Sweet Science, I guess about a week ago, and I put, you know, Andre Berto is 4-4 in his last four fights, and Sean Porter just, you know, lost a really close and tough decision to Keith Thurman. I look at where the two of them are in relation to one another in the present, in the here and now, and I think Sean Porter is clearly a favorite. I said, you know, that if they're going to have this welterweight tournament sort of thing, and the names out there were Thurman and Garcia and Spence, Kell Brook, and then Sean Porter, and you stick Andre Berto in the mix, I said he deserves to be in this tournament format about as much as the ghost of Carmen Basilio. I mean, that's just me, you know.
Chris?
Same here. I think Berto's lost it. He doesn't have it anymore. I don't even want to see him fight anymore. I mean, if he's on, I would just soon watch some. I mean, I'm just not turned on by him anymore. I mean, they're just recycling him, and he doesn't fit into the picture. He's not going to go up any higher than he is now. He's just he's an opponent now, and you know, I don't even see why they're making the fight. I mean, I'm like I say, it doesn't excite me to see the two of them fight. But I like Kell Brook. I like him. But I think what someone said earlier, weight is important. Coming back down is difficult. Taking off muscle is a lot harder. And maybe this guy can't make that weight anymore. Maybe he'd like to come back, and he thinks he's going to be as good at 47 as he once was. May not be the case. May not be the case. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get up into that middleweight division, 54, 56, tough to come back. And weight is critical to some fighters. Jake LaMotta used to have an awful time coming down. He used to take fights in the low 50s. He couldn't do it. He was weak as a lamb. He'd stink. He was terrible at a lighter weight. At 160, when he came in at 160, show up in the ring at 165, he was tough as nails. But you get him down low, he didn't look very well. So I think it's critical. The weight is critical in this. You know, it'd be interesting. That's another feature of the fight that you can't see. It doesn't.
Right.
Styles don't matter. It's weight does matter. Conditioning does matter. Strength when you walk in a ring matters. So that's going to be the issue. Can he handle that weight change?
Z, what's your thoughts?
I agree with you, Dr. Chris. Well, first of all, I do agree with Dr. Chris. That weight, as I said before, it's you can't yo-yo your weight up and down and expect the same results all the time.
Mm-hmm.
About Sean Porter, Andre Berto, exciting fight for, you know, general boxing fans. Bad fight for Andre Berto. and it's bad because he's not going to get knocked out. That's the bad part about it. He's going to get grinded to salt. Andre Guerrero moved up from lightweight and essentially boxed Berto in all fight long and just steered around Berto. Every time Berto wanted to move his feet somewhere, Guerrero would somehow steer and just stay inside. Berto, if there's any weakness in his boxing game, it's inside fighting. Sean Porter does inside fighting all the time. There's nothing Berto could do that's going to stop Sean Porter. He can't hold Sean Porter. Sean Porter is Berto was strong for a welterweight. Sean Porter's stronger. I mean, he's probably the strongest physically welterweight there is. As far as punch impact, maybe not, because he smothers himself. He pushes a lot of his punches. But the fight's going to basically be him pushing 1,000 punches in the Berto's stomach and into his head. Mm-hmm. For a boxer, I don't like seeing it. As a fan, that is going to be exciting. It's going to be nothing but punches.
Mm-hmm. John?
You know, Berto started out as a middleweight. His first fight, he came in at 155, 156. And his problem was, could he be effective at 147? And he never was as good at 47 as he was at the middle, you know, the junior middleweight. He did make 47 because he wasn't tall enough to fight as a middleweight. But I think he's about shot by now. I think he's just an opponent now, and he's making money, and more power to him. I like to see him make some money. He sure in hell has rough fights every time he fights. I mean, he gives it his all, so I shouldn't be so harsh on him because he's making a living at the sport, and he's trying to, you know, do what he can. So,
John,
his name is
still
relevant.
Yeah, it's going to be just survival for Berto. I mean, that's all the fight's going to be, survival.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be able to go on and stop Sean, or he's not going to be able to stop him going the inside. And it's going to be interesting how his defense. He's a defensive-minded fighter, but it's going to be interesting how his defense holds up. He is 4-4 in his last fights, and, you know, it's a good undercard. It's a, you know, you're going to see two name boxers go at it, and on a all-around good card that's going to be on free TV. And I know we're putting on a fight a little bit, but, you know, we need this. Boxing fans in general need this, especially with name fighters going against one another and not waiting things around. I don't know if Berto's that named fighter, but he is somebody that's known to the boxing world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hey, can I ask you guys something?
Yeah, go ahead.
They made a big deal last night on Showtime that history was being made with the first main event on premium cable involving a women's bout. Obviously, Clarissa Shields comes in with the 2 gold medals and back-to-back Olympics, and that's a big deal. I think we all remember going back 15 years or so, you know, with Lucia Riker and Christy Martin and Layla Lee. You know, the thing is that they made a little bit of a stir. Some months back with the Olympics, Ring Magazine had a cover story on Clarissa Shields. They don't have a lot of women boxers they get to cover on Ring Magazine. My thing is that, you know, and first of all, that bout last night, I was reminded of Larry Holmes and Tex Cobb, because the girl that she was fighting got hit with like 8,000 punches and she was still coming, you know, and, you know, I admired her for that. But what do you guys feel? I mean, they're saying that, you know, maybe there'll be some more women. Does anybody care? I mean, do you guys care? I mean, what did you think of what happened last night? And is it really a harbinger of things to come, or is it just, you know, something that'll pass?
Well, I managed a woman fighter for about 2 years. She fought on the undercard of the Ali was putting a show on in Atlanta, and she was a Philadelphia girl, and she could fight. She could fight. She could box. But I don't think myself. I don't think there's any future for women in boxing. There's just something about it. They don't have the power. It's out of place for them. I'm not a fan of women's boxing. I'm not a fan of them being into sport. So, you know, take that for a while. I don't think it's going anywhere. And I, matter of fact, I didn't even watch that fight. I watched something else. I think I might have turned off to golf. I didn't even want to see it. I spent a lot of money on this girl for 2 years, and she did. She had some 10-round fights, and she was – but they just don't have it. They can't turn the crowd on most of the time. I'm not thrilled seeing two women fight. You know, with gloves on. It's not a thrill for me. And I don't relate to it at all. So I just gave up on it. I said, Elvin, I'm done. I'm not promoting her anymore. It was costing $100, $200 a week to keep her in food, training, you know, equipment here and there. So I just dropped the whole thing. I lost enough. That was enough for me. But I'm not a fan of women in boxing.
I think one of the problems they have is that the talent pool is very shallow. I mean, this girl might have some talent. She's got the two gold medals, but who she's going to fight? She's 165 pounds, and virtually there's virtually nobody there for her to fight. I mean, at some point,
you're right. The interest dies out because of the lack of opponents. You know. I don't think it's going anywhere. They're going to constantly try to revive the entertaining side of it, but I don't think it is. You know, when you compare with the great male fighters, they just can't produce. You know, they just can't do it.
Yeah. It's all about quality and level of competition. If you don't have that level of competition, the rivalries, you know, you don't want to see a blowout every game in any sport. You know, that gets repetitively boring. Same in boxing. You don't want to see this person just always crush somebody. I mean, you want to see somebody that can, you know, match that person, that can, you know, some actually more than one person. So, you know, you're absolutely right, Bernard. It's the talent pool kind of takes away from it. I mean, it's not the fact, because women's MMA, it is quite successful. And I think, you know, that, and that's because, you know, right now, especially now, you see people, you know, getting beat all the time. That is, you know, that's what you want to see. You want to see somebody, you know, match that. You don't want to see the also sloppy fights. You don't want to see, you know, the quality of boxing go down. You want to see, you know, that same quality. You want to see the sharp punches. You want to see, you know, good defense. But, you know, you also want to see that within both, you know, upon both, you know, participants. So I think that's the main problem.
You know, I left something out. This girl I had, her name was Leticia. Very nice, very likable. But when I used to go to the gym and she spar with the boys, and she would try to be their equal. And when she would get stung, she wanted to fight hard. And Elvin had to stop several of them because once the boys forgot she was a girl and tore into her, they like killed her. So, you know, it's hard for them to participate. Where are they going to get their sparring partner? They got to fight other guys. The other guys go easy on them. They never come in the ring in a condition. They're not hardened by their training. And I'd like to see it all stop. And let them go to the MMA. They're better in the MMA than they are in boxing. It's a whole different thing. Look how successful that girl was. Christ, she even had Mike Tyson going to her training camp. What was her name? What's her name?
Rousey?
The white girl.
Chrissy Martin?
Rousey?
No. Just the recent one about 6 months ago, she got knocked out by that left-handed
Ronda Rousey.
Oh, you mean
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah,
yeah. They can be more exciting in the MMA because of the kicks. But in boxing, they just, you know. I will say this: there's one woman in my lifetime who had a tremendous punch, could hit as hard as a man. In all the times I've been around the sport. That's that woman that used to train at Kirkland.
Yeah, Ann Wolf.
Man, because she punched.
Ann Wolf.
I mean, she
scary.
Had a serious punch. She had a serious punch. They tested her on television one time, scientifically tested her power. She had equal the power of all the men. None of them hit harder than her. So you might get an exception, one out of a million. And she was an exception. She probably has
I'm trying to think of the name of that former University of Tennessee women's player, 6'3", that Ann Wolf knocked out with one punch. It's still one of the more memorable knockouts that I saw. I mean, I can't think of that girl's name that she knocked out, but she was unconscious on the way to the canvas. You know, it was about as emphatic a one-punch knockout as we'll ever see. Yeah. And Wolf was scary, and she's still scary. I mean, I think he's scarier in some cases more than James Kirkland is.
Yeah.
I think James Kirkland is a little bit afraid of her.
She's a mean woman, too. She's a mean son of a gun. She wants to tear you a new rear end real quick, boy. And they put her on TV and had a scientist with a pressure gauge in the back. She topped all the men, most of them. I mean, she could hit. So I never saw the fight you're talking about, but I would believe it. I mean, I would believe she could do it.
Yeah,
I mean,
the person she knocked out was Ward.
Vonda Ward.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know that there's a testosterone level in people. Some women have a higher testosterone level than others. The ones that are up near the males, they're the stronger women. And I believe that if they tested that woman's testosterone, it's the same as a male. I mean, she's just strong, nasty. And the same thing with you look at the tennis player, Serena. She's a strong woman.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet they test her testosterone level. It's much higher than the other women.
Sure.
She's too damn strong to believe it. I mean, she's an exception. Where's she come? One in a lifetime. You see like her. One in a lifetime with this woman that trained Kirkland. I mean, you know, they can say there's no opponents for him, no competition. So I don't think women's boxing will ever catch on. Short periods of time, maybe one or two fights here or there, but you know.
Guys, we're up against our time limit here. Bernard, I want to thank you for coming on, and we wish all the best for your wife and her test next week. Chris, always a pleasure to have you on. We really enjoy all the historical facts that you give us. Brady, it's always a pleasure to be with you, my man. Zito, thanks for everything. I appreciate everything you do. And John, I can't say enough. You know how much I appreciate your friendship and your ability to chime in here and really bring our program up another notch. We always have Zito and Ty here and Brady and Dr. Chris to help us out. And you always bring another perspective to us, and we really appreciate it.
Hey, Zito, I got a bunch of books I got. I'm waiting to give them to you. Someday we've got to have lunch now.
There you go.
Damn, give me a call. I'll bring the books down. These are collector's items. I before somebody steals them, I want to give them to you. You can carry on. I had about 10 Ring magazines that were 50, 60. 70 years old. I had Marciano right after he won the title. I had Graziano, Willie Pep won the covers. My friend said, let me have them. I'd like to read them. About 2 years later, I called him. He says, I don't have them anymore. I said, you sold them, didn't you? He goes, yeah. Guy offered me a good price. I said, that's wonderful. Well, sold the damn magazines. They were classics. So I want to give these guys these magazines. All right? Give me a call, Z.
All right,
see you now. Bye, guys.
Take care, Chris.
All
right. Z, you want to
leave
it out?
Thanks for all you do, Bernard.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. You take care.
Thank you. Z, you want to lead us out?
I sure do. This wonderful show, wonderful show. I almost hate the meeting. I want to thank everyone that was on. I want to start naming everyone, but you know what? I just want to thank everyone that was on. These shows are definitely a memory of Bob, and if anyone wants to hear any fight words, please do call.
John?
Just want to say thank you for having me on. I appreciate everything. Look forward to the upcoming fights, and it's always a pleasure to talk to all you guys and learn a little more about boxing and speak with the fans. So thank you very much, Butch, and have a great night, and take care, everybody.
Thank you. You too. Brady?
Thanks for having me, and I want to thank everyone for coming on. I guess.
Good report, Brady. Ladies and gentlemen, we did have Dan Birmingham set for tonight. Unfortunately, he had a minor accident this afternoon, got something in his eye, and was on his way to the ER just prior to the show. We wish him a lot of luck because he's got another fight coming up next Saturday night in Reading, Pennsylvania, with Ed Nurturian and Omar Douglas. We'll get back with Dan. I'll get him in the gym on Tuesday and talk to him. I know he won't be on with us next week, but he'll be on the following week, which will be the 25th. Dan will be on, Edner will be on, and Frankie Philippone will also be on to talk about his next fight. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, just let them know that you know they're there. That's a tough job anymore, and it's getting tougher. Just let them know that with a wink or a handshake, or even if you buy them a cup of coffee, it would be tremendous. The best thing you can ever say to a police officer or man and woman of the police or fire services or the armed services are be safe, my brother or my sister. These programs are dedicated to those who put their lives on the line for us already and have passed. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Kendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Ashley Gidden, Eustis, Texas Police Officer David Helfert, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Christopher Leake, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Patrolman Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Salto, New York Police Department, Special Agent FDLE Vinny Galaccio. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads right up meet you, may the winds be always at your back, may the rains fall softly on your fields and the sunshine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
Shem Alekma Yilama Shem Ahezah Yilama Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Mayilama prowess and strength and length of days.
County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God bless his soul.